trouble in Jerusalem. It was at Jerusalem that the greatest exclusiveness and bigotry were found. When Jewish Christians living within sight of the temple saw the Christian church departing from the ceremonies of Judaism and perceived that Jewish customs would soon be lost sight of in the new faith, many grew indignant with Paul. Even the disciples were not all prepared to accept willingly the decision of the council. Some, zealous for the ceremonial law, regarded Paul with disfavor. They thought his principles in regard to the Jewish law were lax. The far-reaching decisions of the General Council brought confidence to the Gentile believers, and the cause of God prospered. In Antioch, Judas and Silas exhorted the brethren with many words and strengthened them. Later, when Peter visited Antioch, he won confidence by his prudent conduct toward the Gentile converts. In accordance with the light from heaven, he sat at table with the Gentile converts. But when certain Jews, zealous for the ceremonial law, came from Jerusalem, Peter injudiciously changed. A number of the Jews acted insincerely, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their insincerity. This weakness on the part of those who had been respected as leaders left a painful impression on the Gentile believers. The church was threatened with division. But Paul, who saw the subverting influence of the wrong done through the double part acted by Peter, openly rebuked him. In the presence of the church, Paul inquired of Peter, "If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews?" RSV. Peter saw his error and immediately set about repairing the evil, so far as was in his power. God permitted Peter to reveal this weakness in order that he might see there was nothing in himself whereof to boast. Even the best of men, if left to themselves, will err. God also saw that in time to come some would claim for Peter and his pretended successors the exalted prerogatives that belong to God alone. This record of the apostles' weakness was proof of his fallibility and that he stood in no way above the other apostles. The greater the responsibilities placed on the human agent and the larger his opportunities to dictate and control, the more harm he is sure to do if he does not carefully follow the way of the Lord and labor in harmony with decisions arrived at by the general body of believers and united council. After Peter's fall and restoration, his intimate acquaintance with Christ, after all the knowledge and influence he had gained by teaching the Word, is it not strange that he should dissemble and evade the principles of the gospel in order to gain esteem? May God give every man a realization of his helplessness, his inability to steer his own vessel straight and safe into the harbor. Paul was often compelled to stand alone. He dared make no concessions that would involve principle. At times the burden was heavy. The traditions of men must not take the place of revealed truth. He realized that the church must never be brought under the control of human power. Paul had received the gospel direct from heaven, and he maintained a vital connection with heavenly agencies. He had been taught by God regarding the binding of unnecessary burdens on the Gentile Christians. Thus he knew the mind of the Spirit and took a firm, unyielding position which brought to the church's freedom from Jewish rites. Notwithstanding the fact that Paul was personally taught by God, he was ever ready to recognize the authority vested in the body of believers united in church fellowship. When matters of importance arose, he was glad to unite with his brethren in seeking God for wisdom to make right decisions. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. All united in church capacity should be subject one to another.